So as I begin my message this morning, I want to turn to our opening two verses of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel is our Haftarah portion this morning. So we're going to go to Ezekiel 28, verses 25 and 26. Thus says the Lord, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they are scattered, and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land, which I give to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely there and build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they will dwell securely when I execute judgments on all those around them who despise them. And then they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Amen. God's desire and God's plan, God's will, is that Israel would live in their land, the land that he created. It was a land created by God, and it was created specifically for this people. And so he wanted them, as a desire, as his will, to live in the land, to live safely in the land, and to live, as he said, securely in the land. And along with that in here is a warning, and it's a dire warning to those who would go against God's will and God's plan in this matter. He says, I will execute judgment. He couldn't say it any plainer than that. I will execute judgment. This should be a warning to all of those who support the BDS movement. The BDS movement, basically, you can clap if you want and say amen if you want, because it is the truth. It is the biblical truth. It is God's word, and he says it, and he speaks it here, but he speaks it a number of times throughout the scriptures. So if people want to boycott Israel for their products and Israel companies by boycotting them, to cut off funds to them so that they would hurt financially, and this is one of the major things that the BDS movement does, if any of the people want to divide the land, if they want to call the people living in Israel racists because they are looking at them the way they treat the Arabs, which is totally fabricated and made up, the way they treat the Arabs, and if they want to call them racists, and if they want to support a Palestinian state that God never created and never said there should be, and if people want to divide the land and take part of it away from the Jewish people, God says, I will execute judgment on you. They may not immediately feel the judgment, but trust me, they're going to feel it someday. And the sad, sad thing about it is, even some people in the body of Messiah, some of the churches out there, they're usually the churches that I will honestly say are not what we would call Bible-believing, born-again churches. And they are for the BDS program, and they want a Palestinian state, and they want to do all these things. God says, I will execute judgment on you. Now, here's the thing. This is just my opening for my message. My message isn't about this, but this is an important thing. But it ties in. Because we, in this country, in the United States, we have the right and the privilege to be safe within our country, just the way God wanted the Israelites to be safe and secure in their country. We have the right to be safe and secure in our country. The problem is, and as we're getting it now, this is my first Shabbat message for the year 2019. And so as we are now in this first week of 2019, there is this battle going on in the government, and it is a political battle. It shouldn't be a political battle, but it is a political battle, and it is not about the safety of our people in the United States. And I'm not taking sides, and I'm not calling anyone out, but the reality is the reality, and we need to look at this in a way that God looked at it for Israel. Because I believe it is God's will that we should be safe and secure in our own country. We have a partial shutdown of the government, and it's over whether or not we are going to build a wall to keep our country safe. And this isn't a message about immigrants or immigration. It's not about any of that. It's about building a wall to keep our country and the people in our country safe. And no matter what political side you are on, and no matter what you feel about immigration or the individual parts of the immigration issue, I would hope that we would all agree that we have a right to feel safe in our own country. And let's just leave it at that. And this is why. Because my message is about the keeping Israel safe. And in extension, we need to look at it in our lives also. So in the book of Nehemiah, it was originally part of the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is our Haftarah portion this morning. But Nehemiah, what we now know as the book of Nehemiah, was originally part of the book of Ezekiel, but it was actually around the Middle Ages sometimes, I would say, it was actually separated as a separate book. Doesn't have anything to do changing the plan or the message of salvation. It has nothing to do with that, but it was separated into its own book that we know now as the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonians when they came in to take captive the people of Israel. And so they destroyed the wall, they burned parts of the wall, and the wall was in bad shape. It wasn't even a wall at all. It was something that people could get in and out of without trying to. And so God called Nehemiah to rebuild that wall because that wall was important for the safety of the people of the nation of Israel. That's how important walls are. And so physical walls give a physical safety to us. The physical wall erected under Nehemiah was also intended to be an object lesson to the Jewish people that they would keep in their hearts. And it's an object lesson for each and every one of us to keep in our hearts. This is an object lesson. As I say it so often, God gives us physical realities, physical events, physical laws of nature, and physical objects to teach us spiritual rules, spiritual laws, to teach the things of the spiritual world. And so God does this. He gives us the physical to teach us things in the spiritual. Just in the same way that Yeshua gave stories, and he would give stories and lessons, and he would talk about things that were common to the people, but they had a spiritual understanding that he wanted them to make a connection between these things. And so the physical wall erected was really for Israel. The way this story worked out, not just the actual building of it, but the way God arranged the whole scenario of that building, of the building of the wall. And we'll be talking about that. But it's also a great object lesson for each and every one of us this morning. So we have a prophecy of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 60, verse 18. And Isaiah wrote, "Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation." And we can plug in the name Yeshua, because salvation is Yeshua, and I think that's why they assigned it a capital S there. So you shall call your walls salvation, Yeshua, and call your gates praise. This is a prophetic thing by Isaiah. It's our salvation that is our ultimate safety. And God was using Isaiah to tell the people that your safety and security is in two things: Yeshua, salvation, and the other thing is that you need to have a relationship with the living God. You need to have a relationship. You need to be praising him. So it's like the wall is salvation and the gates are praise. The way you enter into salvation. How do you enter into salvation? You, by praising God, by praising the Lord, by having a relationship with him, by praying to him, by talking to him, by reading his word, by worshiping and praising him. That's the gate to go in to salvation. This was very prophetic that Isaiah was saying to them. Now let's go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 4 and 5. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. This is prophetic also. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Why? Because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, I will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Amen. That is the wall of safety that God was trying to show them as an object lesson. And that is what we need to understand today, particularly as believers, that we need to know that God is a wall, like a wall of fire, and he is a wall of safety around us. Now, isn't it interesting that Isaiah says that the wall is salvation, Yeshua, and God says, I, says the Lord, I will be the wall of fire, because Yeshua is God. And so we see it in both in the Tanakh of Isaiah and in Zechariah, where God says that I am God and I am the wall, and I and the wall is Yeshua, salvation. Because Yeshua is God and God is Yeshua. They are the same. And so this was very prophetic also. Our spiritual walls of protection are the Lord as believers. With physical walls, and we look at the walls of Jerusalem, we look at the way they are and they are arranged, and we see something very significant for us. The physical walls of Jerusalem, the Jewish people could control the interaction between them and the enemy on the outside by those walls. We say, well, for safety, but they could take care of the interaction. And they could control what was going on, just as we would want to control who's coming into our country and who's not coming into our country. And so there is this interaction. The walls around Jerusalem, They were 39 feet high. They were a little over eight feet thick. And there were eight gates. And those gates, everyone had to enter and exit through those gates. And those gates controlled who was going in and who wasn't going in. And when they didn't want anyone coming in, they would lock the gates. I can only assume they would lock the gates on times that there was no one manning the gates, maybe on Shabbat, when they said, okay, everyone, we would only have a small crew of people guarding the wall and the gates, and we're here and it's Shabbat, and we want to make sure the enemy's not coming in, and so they lock the gates. So this is the way that they would control the enemy on the outside. As believers, our interaction with the world around us is controlled by our relationship with our God. So, how do we go through? With praise, worship, relationship, having a connection with God. Because look, we know it, and I say it so often, there are people that say, oh, I believe in God. You know what? The enemy believes in God. The enemy knows God is God. The enemy knows Messiah is Messiah. The enemy knows who Yeshua is. But that's not the same as knowing him in a personal way and having a relationship with him. So to get through the gates, you need to have the praise, the worship, the interaction, the prayer. And that will get you in through the gates on the other side of the wall. And so it's our relationship with God through all these things and through Messiah, because it's the wall. It's not only the fiery wall of Adonai, it was the fiery wall of Yeshua. That sometimes we just have to keep those gates locked. Sometimes you just shouldn't deal with any of the things that you see around you. Sometimes they're in the name of Yeshua. They're in the name of Messianic Judaism. They're in the name of Christianity. But you should just keep your gates locked and don't let the enemy in. We should be able to control the flow in and out. And how do we do it? By our relationship with God. So in other words, if you have a relationship with God, you're going to be able to control what's going on around you and in the world around you and the enemy. If you don't have a relationship with God, really, all this stuff's going to come in. The enemy's going to come in. The gates are going to be wide open. You can't control those gates because they are the gates of praise and worship and prayer and relationship. So it's like the gates are wide open. But we should sometimes be able to lock those gates. So let's go to Proverbs, just one of the verses, Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Isn't it wonderful when the Bible agrees with Rabbi Allen here? Woo! Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And trust me, the less you have a relationship with God, the less you have control over your spirit. Because as that great Jewish philosopher wrote years ago, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil and it may be the Lord, Bob Dylan, but you got to serve somebody. And so where is your spirit? Who are you serving? Because it's an either or. It's not an in between. It's not a semi. Well, you don't have one foot in one and one foot in the other. And so when Dylan wrote that, you know, he was right on. I don't think he even realized how profound he was writing this, but you've got to serve someone. You have to. If you're not serving God, by default, you are serving the enemy. That's a harsh thing to say to people. If you're a believer, and I don't care if you're a believer for 20 years or 30 years, if you're not serving the Lord, and it doesn't mean you're serving him on your knees and you're praying 24, it doesn't mean that. But if your heart is not to serve the Lord, by default, your heart is to serve whatever's out there in the world. In other words, if you're not serving within the gates, your heart is outside of the gates. And so, okay, now I went off on a tangent. I don't know where I am in my notes here, but okay, so now let's look at the scenario. Let's look at the story. And then we realize God has control of everything that goes on in the Bible. He's got control of the stories. He's got control of the enemy. He has control of the haters. He has control of the lovers. He has all the control. Because when we then read the stories, we can use this for our lives. So now let's look at Nehemiah 4, and we're going to look at 2 and 3, just those two, part of verse 2 and part of verse 3. And this is the enemy. When the enemy tried to stop the building or rebuilding of the wall by Nehemiah and the Jews, to stop the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, this is what the enemy said. They came to them and they said, actually they said a few other things, but I just wanted to cut it down a little bit because these are things I wanted to talk to this morning. They said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they offer sacrifices? Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." I'm going to paraphrase it because maybe, you know, you'd read this and say, "What does that mean?" And then you would just sort of pass on. So I'm going to, all right, so here we are. In other words, what are these feeble Jews? In other words, what can the weak do? Look at these people. They're weak. They're no one. They're not high priests. They're nothing special. They're not these special people with their God. They're regular people. What can they do? They're feeble. They're weak. Are they willing to offer their sacrifices? In other words, are they willing to pay the price? You know, because in those days you had animals, you sacrificed them. They were your, you know, that was like taking money. It's taking animals and sacrificing animals. It was part of your possessions. Are they willing to sacrifice? In other words, these weak people, are they willing to pay the price? Are they willing to do something that they would be giving up things that they would want to hold too dearly? Are they willing to do that to build your wall? And it was like in a mocking way, the enemy said to them. And then the enemy said, even the fox, even an animal, even a small animal could go and knock down that wall. In other words, is it going to be built well? Are you feeble people, you people that aren't even willing to give anything up, are you going to build a wall? You think you're going to build a wall that's strong enough? In other words, that's strong enough to keep out your enemies? This is what the enemy was saying to them, trying to discourage them. These are the same kind of things that we need to look at this morning. God empowers each and every one of us. God empowers us to accomplish. The question is, are you willing to do things to accomplish something that God is going to put in your heart or in your path? We are weak. We are feeble. We are no one special. We are sinners. We don't deserve it. But God can use us. And God can have us accomplish great things in our lives. So forget about someone saying to you, you're a nobody. So what? They said that to Yeshua. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Doesn't matter what people say. You know who you are. You are strong in the Lord because the Lord is our strength. You have joy. The Lord is our strength and he is our joy. He gives us these things. So don't let any in the enemy, don't let the enemy, don't let anyone say you are weak and you are feeble. And it doesn't matter if you have handicaps. It doesn't matter if you can't walk right. It doesn't matter if you can't run. It doesn't matter if you physically can't do a lot of things. It doesn't matter if you're old, meaning like 80 or 90 years old, not in the 60s. You know, the 60s are the new 40s today. You know that, don't you? So saith the Lord. Not really, but I like to think it. Don't let the enemy say that to you as the enemy said that to them. If we are willing to pay the price and developing that relationship with the Lord, are you willing to sacrifice? Yeah, maybe not an animal, but are you willing to sacrifice some time and some energy and something out of your everyday schedule or the hobbies that you normally like to do? Are you willing to do things out of your everyday schedule to do something for the Lord? Are you willing to do that? Or are you saying, well, gee, I really don't want to do that. You know, I'd rather not do that today because I've got this, this, and this going on. Are you willing to take time and effort? Because to develop a relationship with the Lord, it takes time and effort. Now, the Lord will make it easier for you, and he'll give you a love and an understanding for what you're doing, and he might even take away the desire of what you are missing by doing something for the Lord. But are you willing to do it? Are you willing to sacrifice? That's what they asked them. And so, are we willing to do those things and to sacrifice? The enemy doesn't want you to be willing to do that. He wants you to look at the nice glittery thing over here. Ooh, look at that glittery thing. Don't look over here by the Lord. Look at this. Ooh. And he'll do that. Because it takes time and effort to turn away from that and to walk away from whatever that thing is. The enemy tried to put doubt in their minds. And the enemy tries to discourage us that despite our best efforts, we're going to fail. Even a fox is going to... And someone can say to you, you think you're doing this thing and you're spending all this time and effort to do this? Well, maybe you're willing to do the sacrifice. Maybe you are willing to do these things. Maybe you see that you are capable and strong doing it. Why? Because the Lord is calling you to do it, and I am willing to sacrifice and do it. And then somebody's going to come up to you at the last minute and go, do you really think that's going to, come on, what are you doing? You really think that's going to work? Well, you know what? Maybe it won't work. But the thing is, you don't know until you try. And so the thing is, they say, even a fox can go by and just kick that wall down and do that. The enemy will try to do that with us sometimes at the last minute, even when we're all excited and we're riled up and we're ready to go and ready to roll and Lord wants me to do it. Sometimes somebody's going to step up to you and just try to knock you down right at the last minute. Just the way the enemy tried to do that with Nehemiah and his crew. It happens today, it happens every day, and the thing is, the enemy wants us to fail, and he tells you many times, and he puts it into your head many times, you're going to fail, you're not capable, you can't do it. Don't listen to it. See, these are the lessons, and I believe that God set it up this way with Nehemiah, with the enemy this way, and had the enemy speak this way to them so that one day, not only could Israel hear it, but one day, thousands of years later, we can hear those same things and say, my goodness, look at this, things haven't changed. The enemy is still the enemy, God is still the God, and these things are happening today, and they're happening in my life. So our sign outside, and I know I talked about it last week, but our sign says, it says 2019, that it's a new year and it's a new you. But the thing is here, it's more than just a new you. Because God says you are a new creation. It's not just that it's a new you where you can do this and this change and that change. God says you are a new creation. From the foundation up, he has created us anew. It's a new, it's a much better new than just something new that you're doing and better and more efficient that you're doing for this year. God says that we are new creations. And that is our victory. And that should be our victory for this year. That our victory is truly within the walls of salvation. We know that those walls are God the Father, and they are Yeshua the Messiah, the Mashiach. We know that those are the walls. Within those walls, we find true safety, each and every one of us. Let's remember that as we go into this new year. Can we? Can we? Can we? Shabbat shalom, everyone.